Hello and welcome to HCM Cloud Talk Radio, where you'll get the latest in HCM Cloud best practices and information which are important for your Oracle HCM Cloud service. I'm Frank Howell, Director, HCM Cloud Development, and a member of the Center of Excellence team here at Oracle. And I'd like to welcome Clive Swan, Oracle Senior Vice President, Applications Development, to our show today. Clive has been with Oracle since 1990 and was responsible for the development of the full suite of Fusion HCM Cloud since its inception. He has held a variety of leadership positions within Oracle's development organization throughout the years and currently leads Oracle's development initiatives in Adaptive Intelligence Cloud Solutions. Prior to joining Oracle, Clive worked at EDS and holds a Master of Arts degree in Natural Sciences from Cambridge University. Clive, it's great to have you on HCM Cloud Talk Radio. Many thanks for making time to join us here on the show today.
Frank, thanks for having me.
The topic of our discussion today on HCM Cloud Talk Radio is changing the future of HCM with adaptive intelligent apps. So Clive, let's get right into it. You lead a very innovative group within Oracle, the Oracle Adaptive Intelligent Apps program. Can you tell our listeners a little about the program? And to start, what are Oracle Adaptive Intelligent Apps?
Yeah, so the mission of our team is to ensure that we inject artificial intelligence and machine learning into all our enterprise applications, HCM, CX, manufacturing, and ERP. And we're doing that in a number of ways. First way is with the actual, what I call Adaptive Intelligent Apps, where we're seamlessly embedding functional recommendations to users in the applications, and we're doing that by delivering pre-built AI and machine learning models and enriching the application's data with third-party data to feed into those models. Second way we're doing that is by driving what we call intelligent user experience, where we're providing AI nudges across the user experience to prompt users to do what they need to do next and to surface up information for them.
Excellent. So can you expand a little bit more on that? You mentioned that these are pre-built applications. What does that mean from the customer standpoint, and how can they use Oracle AI apps?
Yeah, so there are a number of AI solutions out there today, but many of them are bespoke or consulting-built solutions, or they're solutions that come from a vendor but require a lot of manual care and feeding from there on in. With our AI apps, these are pre-built solutions containing all of the data science in the machine, in both the machine learning and the artificial intelligence, completely integrated with the rest of the applications, and require no management or maintenance on the part of the customers. You don't need to have expensive data scientists either tuning these solutions to your data shapes nor maintaining them ongoing. And we're delivering these seamlessly embedded across the suite, as I said earlier.
Okay, so let's talk specifically about HCM. How does AI apply to HCM applications?
Well, you hear a lot in the press and discussions about how AI is going to replace human beings. And I see it slightly differently. AI is going to augment rather than replace human beings. And I think that's a huge enabler for the HCM business. As the pressure grows on HCM departments to become more strategic, that means that we need to free them up from more of the, if you like, the grunt work that they're doing on a day-to-day business to add more value in very real ways to the business. And it's that reduction, that augmentation of people through AI that's critical, I think, in enabling HCM to become more strategic.
Interesting. So you mentioned that the role of HCM executives is changing to a more strategic function. Can you give our listeners an example of how AI is empowering that change?
Yeah, so we've worked a lot with customers to understand what they're looking for and where we can apply AI and machine learning in the most impactful ways. We've uncovered kind of three major categories where we can focus our efforts within AI apps. We can help the HR function hire smarter. We can help the whole workforce engage smarter. And we can help the whole professional HR workforce work smarter. So for recruiters and hiring managers, we can help them hire smarter. For employees and managers, we can help them engage smarter. That's help the employees engage with the company. At the same time, help the managers engage with the employees in a more effective fashion. And for all HR professionals, and indeed, we're not just doing this for HR professionals, we're doing it for ERP professionals and so forth elsewhere, we can help them work smarter by automating some of the routine functions, removing some of that grunt work I mentioned earlier.
So hire smarter, work smarter, engage smarter, and adapt smarter. That really sounds great. So one area that seems to make obvious sense where AI can help is with the hiring process. Can you tell our listeners a little about how AI helps the customers to hire smarter?
Yes, so this is actually the area where we focused on initially. So we focused on improving the experience of the recruiter in really starting with that problem of identifying the best candidates to phone screen and further qualify for a job role. So with what we call our Next Best Candidate solution, we will take a pile of resumes that have applied for a particular job, and we will rank them according to how well they fit based on the content of the resume against the job description. What we're not trying to do there is select the candidates for you, but what we are trying to do is take that grunt work of a recruiter spending, say, 2 hours to look through 100 resumes to find the top 10 to phone screen. We're trying to take that grunt work off them so the recruiter can do the much more value-added work of, say, spending time on the phone selling the company to a strong candidate, which is, you know, so that's an example of that augmentation, taking the grunt work away, freeing them up to do more value-added work. And I think this is a really interesting example where it illustrates how AI can be more powerful in ways that people may not expect. So let me explain it to you like this, Frank. So let's assume that our AI solution, in terms of identifying the top folks to phone screen from a pile of resumes, is absolutely no better than a human being, but is just as good. I would contend that you will get a better result with it, and I'll tell you why. The reality is, if I give a recruiter 100 or 200 resumes to look at for a given job, and incidentally, last week I was talking to a customer in the Middle East who had 3,000 resumes apply for a given brand manager job. But let's just say we had 200 resumes. You give that to a recruiter and say, find the top 10 phone screens. I can absolutely guarantee you that the recruiter will find the best 10 phone screens from the first 60 or 70 resumes they look at. Well, in contrast, if our AI solution does no better, but because it's a piece of software, it can do it very quickly without getting bored, without getting tired, it will look across the full 200 set. And statistically, it is going to do a better job just because it looks at more resumes. And I think that you're going to find that pattern time and again with AI. You know, we hear a lot of talk about driverless cars and robots doing healthcare and so forth, and that will come in time. But a lot of AI is going to add that real value by automating an existing task, which is value in itself. But because it's software that never tires, that never takes a holiday, never has a lunch break, it's going to effectively do it in a more effective fashion than a human being would.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like not just more effectively, but faster time to hire. Because if it took you how long to go through 200 resumes, that this could really cut down on the time to hire.
Well, it certainly reduced the time to hire. You know, we talked to our recruiters within Oracle. And on average, our recruiters are spending 2 hours a day looking at resumes, from part of resumes to identify people to phone screens. So it's not just the time to hire, it's the value that that recruiter can now spend an extra 2 hours a day on the phone doing the real value-added task of selling Oracle to prospective job candidates.
Yeah.
So there are lots of kind of indirect benefits that are derived from the automation that AI brings.
Yeah, very good point. So are there any other ways to help recruiters or even the job candidates?
Yeah, so we have an extensive roadmap of solutions that we're working on building on that Next Best Candidate. By using similar technology, actually, we'll be delivering later on this calendar year capabilities where, for example, when a candidate comes to the candidate gateway, we'll be recommending jobs that we think might be a good fit for them. We can show a recruiter candidates that look like other candidates and the like. And in fact, that extends beyond recruiting into other talent management areas. The same technology will start to be used to deliver capabilities such as career support in support of career planning and succession planning as well in Oracle. But beyond those sort of job candidate matching capabilities, we're also working on some solutions, and you'll see some of them in the first half of this calendar year, such as predicting the time to fill a role. And you'll start seeing recommendations around the level of compensation that we think you need to offer to a candidate in order for them to join the company as well. And we have some other exciting stuff further on downstream that's still at the research phase that I'm perhaps not quite confident to talk about yet.
I understand that. Thank you. So I can see how these AI examples can greatly benefit the hiring process. How about once a candidate gets hired and becomes an employee? How can AI help there?
So there's a number of ways that AI can be used across the employee lifecycle. I talked earlier about the business to engage smarter with employees and the employees to engage smarter with the business. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Once a candidate gets hired, a company benefits by getting that employee up to speed and productive as quickly as possible. So AI can help in the onboarding process. We call it personalized onboarding. More than just supplying the employee with a checklist of things to do in the first few days, personalized onboarding can help an employee pick the optimal benefits package. It can recommend training courses that the employee should engage with. It could start recommending other company-sponsored programs that the employee want to get engaged with. It could even recommend mentors that the employee may want to approach. And that ongoing nudging and support and recommendations to employees can continue throughout their working career within the organization. And it also goes the other way around. We can nudge managers. We can nudge managers to say, look, pretty simple example, here's a high-performing candidate in your team who is drifting well below the industry average or even the company average for their grade and compensation terms. Or, here are some employees who you haven't seemed to have conducted a performance review for a substantial length of time. And the beauty of machine learning and AI is rather than having a rules-based solution that can only apply some very kind of global decisions to that, we can personalize those decisions based on the pattern of the team and the behavior of the team and what works best for that team as opposed to what I would define as a rigorous rule for everybody in the company.
Which may or may not fit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Got it. So I want to go back to something you said earlier about how Oracle AI apps are delivered through Oracle Fusion applications, and in this case, Oracle HCM Cloud. Can you talk a little bit more about that, and is it an integration or a separate application?
Yeah, obviously under the covers, technically there's some very interesting technology that we're using, but as far as a customer is concerned, it's fully integrated. We deliver all the integration between the rest of the Fusion applications and our solution, and it's seamlessly integrated and embedded in the user interface of the Fusion application. So, for example, going back to Next Best Candidate, when the recruiter goes to the appropriate screen, they just see a ranked list of candidates based on our matching of their resumes to the job descriptions. In fact, you wouldn't necessarily even know that there's any AI under the covers giving you that ranking. It's just so seamlessly embedded. And that's also how our AI solutions work in terms of learning. So in some cases, the learning is very implicit, and in some cases, it's explicit. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. Right now, with our Next Best Candidate solution, we have implicit learning. What I mean by that is we rank the candidates, that's how we think they're best fit for the job. And then we can understand from what the recruiter does with those candidates. If they select them for interview, that's kind of reinforcing the fact that who we thought was a good candidate is a good candidate. If they hire them, that really reinforces the fact that we got that one right. And equally on the converse, if they don't even interview them or don't hire them, and somebody we ranked further down the list they did hire, we learn from that as well. And that's just implicitly learned. In some other solutions, we'll embed into the UI explicit feedback, which we're just like, say, a low-friction button that you can press saying, was this recommendation useful or not? And I always think of the analogy there, Frank, being when I walk through Heathrow Security. When I've been through security, there's the podium with the four faces ranging from happy to sad. Without breaking pace, I can just click on one of the buttons and give explicit feedback. And we're building that into solutions as well. So for them, as far as our customers are concerned, this is so well embedded, you won't even know most of the time there's AI under the covers. It's just you'll find that, over time, this thing's pretty smart, and it's getting smarter. It's learning how I work. It learns how I like to work. It's learning what works for me and making suitable recommendations.
Excellent. So can you give some examples of what you mean by work smarter?
Yeah, so with Work Smarter, this is getting us more into what I call the Intelligent UX Initiative. This is where we're looking to move away from a kind of a one-size-fits-all user experience to a more personalized one that's driven by barely perceptible AI-based nudges to push to the users what we think they need to do and to help them how to do it. So I'll illustrate with the first couple of things that we're working on at the moment, and you'll see some of these coming in the first half of this year, some coming early in the second half of this year. So we're working on something called Smart Actions. With Smart Actions, what we're doing is we're learning from the patterns of your usage of the application and of users like you, most importantly. We're learning what you need to do and when you need to do it. So I'll illustrate that very simply. I can learn after a couple of months that every second Friday, Frank, you need to enter a time card. And I can learn, actually, that you normally start entering the time card on a Wednesday night. So I can start pushing to you a pre-filled default time card on a Wednesday night to you, either as a prompt for you to do the work or just to give you that reduction in friction to start that task. And I can do that by when you log into the application, that will be a recommended smart action for you to take. Or I can do that by even in the future pushing it to you, say, over a digital channel such as Slack if you choose to deploy it that way. Another example would be you're a line manager, and I notice that your peers in your organization have all started doing, say, I, the AI notices that all your peers in your organization have started doing performance appraisals. So perhaps it's time for you to do them. So I just push you a nudge and say, have you thought about doing performance appraisals? So that's an example of smart actions. And then we're working on something called smart inputs, where we're starting to learn patterns of behavior and starting to default values in lots of transactional screens. And this is going to be particularly relevant in HR around capabilities such as entering time cards and the like. It will be particularly helpful in self-service transactions that an individual user doesn't do very often, but we can understand from the bulk of users what is the most likely entry they're trying to make. I think probably a very simple example of that would be in a promotion self-service transaction. I can learn after a period of time that regardless of what the grade structures are in a given company, I can learn that when I come in to do a promotion of an IC3 individual in product development, say in Oracle, the most likely values I'm going to enter for the new grade are going to be IC4 or say M2 or M3. And the solution can start to learn that and start to present those as either the top values in the list of values or defaulting them into the transaction for you. So just reducing friction, reducing manual entry, and just generally improving efficiency and reducing error rates.
That sounds great. So in your opinion, what makes Oracle best suited to delivering AI applications? And how does Oracle differentiate from the competition?
Okay, so I think there are a number of ways in which we differentiate from the competition depending on who you define the competition as being. But I think the overarching difference that we're applying is in our use of data. Data is the fuel that feeds any AI model. If you don't have the right data, the complete enough and accurate enough data feeding into an AI algorithm, doesn't matter how smart that algorithm is, it can't make the right decision. A Formula One car can't go fast enough if you feed it diesel rather than whatever fuel they do use. And so with our strategy of taking the first-party applications data, which bear in mind we have the full enterprise data, it's not just HCM data, many of our customers use our ERP solution as well, so we have a much more rounded view of the business in an integral set of enterprise data. Taking that first-party data and enriching it with third-party data, that gives us a much richer fuel to feed into our AI solutions. And it doesn't matter how good anybody else's AI solutions are. If their data is not as rich, those solutions cannot be as good. So number one, we're differentiating through data and our enrichment of our applications data, plus the richness of our application data in the first instance anyway. And secondly, there's a very technical issue that I just need to explain to the listeners a little bit because I don't think it's talked about enough yet, but it will start to become a problem for many vendors in the industry. And that's the issue of scaling the solutions across multiple customers. History of AI solutions has been they've been typically bespoke one-off solutions carefully made and then maintained manually by these expensive data scientists. And the key thing is not only do you have to be built as a one-off, they need to be tuned as a one-off to a given customer's shape of data. And worst of all, they have to continue to be tuned ongoing manually by the data scientists. Now, that's okay if I've got one big bespoke solution that's the core of my business and I can afford to spend the data scientists on that. But if you as a customer have got 100 bespoke AI solutions that you want to deliver across the enterprise applications, you can't afford to have the data scientists to maintain 100 solutions ongoing. And we as a vendor, if we deliver one solution to 10,000 customers, we can't afford to have data scientists manually maintaining that for each of 10,000. And worst of all, if we're delivering 100 solutions to our 10,000 customers, we definitely can't afford to have those data scientists. So we either solve that problem or we pass what I call an AI tax onto our customers. And that AI tax would be, come from two dimensions. It would either come from the fact that the solution, you can't afford to maintain the solutions over time, and so they degrade and get worse, and that's the way you're paying your tax. Or you spend more and more dollars on data scientists maintaining the solutions we've given you. That's the other way you could pay the AI tax. Now, we've spent as much effort as anything else under the covers in our technology building a solution to pay that AI tax for you. We're applying machine learning itself to doing that ongoing maintenance of our AI solutions. Now, that's a very technical differentiation, and it's not one that you'll hear a lot of vendors talk about because, quite frankly, a lot of vendors aren't trying to solve this problem. And it's not a problem that many people are aware of yet, but it is a problem that will become very manifest in the next 5 years as we see more and more AI solutions delivered by more and more vendors to more and more customers. And that's, as so often with Oracle, we focused on getting the foundation right, and we spent a lot of time on that. And that, over time, will be a huge differentiator for us.
That's fantastic, Clive. And it sounds like a lot of work, too, and a lot of effort to be put in. And glad to hear you're on the road to doing that.
Yeah, thanks very much, Frank. And look, I'd love to come back and talk to you in a couple of months. We've got some very exciting stuff that I'd love to talk to you about some more. I'd like to give you an update on our Intelligent UX initiative. And we've got some very, very interesting stuff we've got in our R&D labs with our data scientists right now in the area of HCM that I'd love to give you an update on when we're a bit further along.
Great. Would love that. And I want to thank you, Clive, for all the great information and the lively discussion today. It was great having you on the show, and I'm sure our listeners learned a lot from you about the information you shared on changing the future of HCM with adaptive intelligent apps. And really, would love to have you back on the show and give us an update on where you're at. So you're always welcome.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks again for having me, Frank.
Thank you. And if you'd like to learn more about how to change the future of HCM with adaptive intelligent apps and the information Clive provided today, please check out the following two videos. HCM World 2018 AI Apps for HCM Session Empowering HR Transformation with AI. And you can get there at the shortened URL, bit.ly/2V/rg. This video provides a thought-provoking session by the Oracle Adaptive Intelligent Apps product team on how you can leverage AI to transform your business with AI apps. And the 2018 HCM World Keynote, AI Apps for HCM Best Fit Candidate Demo, and you can get there at the shortened URL, bit.ly/3a(x)(Q)(D)(K)(W). And the title here speaks for itself. So please check out these two videos for more information. If you have any questions about our show today, or if you would like to send ideas or topics you'd like to hear on a future HCM Cloud Talk radio show, simply send us an email to hcm-cloud-talk-radio_ww@oracle.com. We look forward to hearing from you, so please be sure to drop us a note. Thank you for tuning in today to hear about the changing future of HCM with adaptive intelligent apps. We hope you enjoyed the show and found the information relevant for your Oracle HCM Cloud service. I'm Frank Howe, and you've been listening to HCM Cloud Talk Radio. Please join us again soon on another HCM Cloud Talk Radio show. Until then, take care.